Come on, everybody say it. My help. Say my help. Choir. Before we get into the message, we are excited to be here. How many of y'all are glad to be in the service one more time? Amen. He didn't have to let me live. Am I right? But thank God that we know that our help comes from the Lord. I wanted to share a few things with you. First of all, we invite you to join us for Sunday school at 9 a.m. on Sundays. The Lord is blessing as we study His Word, and we're grateful to participate in that. Also, be in prayer for some of our families that have lost loved ones. We ask that you'd keep them in prayer and pray for our nation. Pray for Tony Slaughter. Mother needs healing. And our brother James Patterson, we ask that you pray for him and pray for his family, as well as all of those that are in nursing homes and rehab facilities. On next Saturday, we will be celebrating the 95th birthday of Mr. William Esau Clark. And those of you that have asked, we've already sent ahead, and we've got a good group of people that's going to be going over. That's going to be from 12 until 3 on next Saturday. Also, you may have noticed that we have a QR code for those that are online. And those that want to choose to give online, we now have a QR code. You scan that code, click, and give. So isn't that neat? Click and give. Amen. But that is to help those that are online, because we are in partnership. We realize that God is doing some great work, and it takes resources to do that. So thank you for all that you're doing to lift up the name of Christ and to support His work. Also, on next Saturday, ushers will be having some training here at Crossroad. I think that begins at 10, and looking forward to all the ushers being here in the lower auditorium of the church. So we're thankful for that. Lastly, we'll be having our homecoming, and that's coming up. I got the little note right here. Well, I did have it. What did I do with it? Okay, y'all, bear with me. Okay. Homecoming on August the 17th and the 18th. On the 17th, we're going to be having an outing outside. We'll be having outdoor activities, water slide, cornhole, bingo, and lots of food and entertainment. So we ask you to come and be a part of that. And then on Sunday, our 10 a.m. worship, we're going to be featuring the 100 Voice Men's Choir. Now, where are all these men coming from? I'm looking at some of them now. I'm looking at some of the men now. Because we do need you to join us, and it's all about lifting up the name of Christ. So come out and share the joy, share the love, as we will praise God together. And you can talk to Brother Lee Walker or either Bernard Cobbs if you want to be a part of that male choir. And also, we have a sign-up list on the outside, and we ask that you sign up for that. The practices will be on Thursday before the homecoming, which will be August the 15th. At 7 p.m., and then on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So I'm looking forward to all the fellows coming out and being a part of that. I know you say you can't sing. Well, you can sing, just sing so low. I'm just kidding. But we want the men to come out, and we can lift up the name of Christ and glorify the Lord as we worship Him together. Amen. Got a special message, and the choir has already led us into that, because all of our help does come from God. It does not come from man, nor does it come from our ways of manipulating the system and getting things to be done, but God is working among his people. He's working among his people. Regardless of how much we see the situations of the world and all of the kingdoms that are seen to be at odds with one another, God is on the throne and he has a perfect plan. We got to believe that. Amen. You got to trust that God did not bring you to this point in time where he'll just abandon you. God is working among us, and he's going to do some mighty things in these days in which we're living. I'm believing him for that. Amen. And I know that he'll do it. Amen. Turning your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 20, we'll find our scripture text today. Acts chapter 20, and while you're turning there, or either looking at your iPad, I got a thank you note from Brother Malik Nowling thanking the church for celebrating their graduation. As you know, he has pursued and obtained his master's degree in music. So continue to pray for Malik that the Lord will use them in a powerful way. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of the Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." Bear with me. "And have declared both to the Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." We're going to end the reading there, but I want to just share with you a few thoughts on facing life's challenges. You may be seated. Facing life's challenges. Father God, we pray that you would bless us now and help us to not only hear your word, but to discover the greatness that's in your word. God, may we learn from Paul and may we learn from others that are in the Bible how to face these difficulties and these situations that we're living in. Our only hope is in you, because you are the living God. And Lord, we know we may not know everything, but we know that you love us, and then we know that you're with us, and that's all we need to know. Bless us now in our time together, that it'll be time well spent. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the people said, amen. Amen. I'm trying to get my electronic equipment to work right, so that's not doing it either. I'll just use the old, yeah, like that. Amen. How faithful are you? And that's the question I want to ask, because a lot of us, we assume that in order for us to be faithful, everything has to turn out right. We read the fairy tale into every ending of our lives, and we say to ourselves, and we all live happily ever after, or the outcome was good. Well, sometimes the outcome is not good. Sometimes you're going to face trials and situations in life. It's not going to be what you wanted, but it's what God has allowed to take place in your life. So here's the point. You cannot come to that moment that you're living in and say, "This is bad." You've got to assume that every step you take, God is there to guide you and lead you so that you'd make the right decision and that you will honor his name. That's what living is all about. If you think about it, our Western culture teaches us, hey, get everything you can out of life. Enjoy life, and it's like the beer commercial. Life is good. Well, that's not always how things turn out. We get old. We get sick. We get weak. And even if you're younger, you got trials. And if you don't have trials, get some kids. And you discover that you have trials, you have situations, things go on in life. And we must go on with our faith. We didn't come this far to abandon our faith. God wants you to be strong in His might and in the power that He gives you to face every conflict, every situation that you will encounter in life. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to declare right now, God is a faithful God, and He will not leave you when you're going through your struggle. Now, let's put it this way. If you were Paul, what kind of farewell message would you deliver to the church at Ephesus? What would you say to them? Would you go to them and say, well, you know what? I have been walking among you all. I've seen some mighty miracles, which he had. God had used him in a powerful way to demonstrate that he was God. Paul could have gone back and said, you know what? I've traveled all over the world, and I know some things, and let me pass on to you what I've learned. Paul was looking at one fact, that as a child of God, the church of Ephesus was still going through some struggles. And as he prayed about it, I'm sure he was asking the Lord, God, what am I going to tell them now that I've gathered them here and I'm ready to move on to another place? What am I going to tell them in my farewell message? And Paul taught them how to face life's challenges. One of the most important things that a pastor can do is to equip his people. Would you all agree with that? Give them some good things. Yes, we want to inspire you. Yes, we want to come with some messages that's uplifting. We want to certainly praise and honor God. We're going to have some of that, some celebration. But when you leave out of those doors, something is going to happen. Amen. Your problem is going to tell you, welcome back. Amen. Your need is going to stare you in the face. Yes. And say to you, what are you going to do on Monday morning when I'm looking at you? What are you going to do about the financial difficulty? What are you going to do about the problems in your family? What are you going to do about the kinfolk that you just visited this weekend and they're getting on your last nerve? What are you going to do about it? How do you face those challenges? Paul wanted to equip the church. Instead of all the things that I can give you, let me tell you how God brought me through. Let me show you how the Lord has delivered me in my time of need, how God has been on my side. And because of that, I can go on from where I am to where I need to be. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day and age now where you and I have to be bold. We've got to be bold in our faith. I didn't say in everybody's faith, but we've got to be bold in the Lord and be willing to tell people, what is the hope you got? Why are you walking around with a smile on your face when everything seems to be crumbling around us? We can tell them confidently, God is on my side. He's working things out. I don't always know. Sometimes I have tears in my eyes. I don't always know how he's going to do it, but I know that God's going to do it. I'm confident that he's going to do it. When you've got that kind of boldness, I'm telling you, God is glorified. You're being used as an example of faith, and how that you have that endurance that says, no matter what kind of problem I'm facing, I know that I'm going to go through this. And I'm going to glorify God in the midst of it. I'm going to be stronger because the Lord is going to help me. So how do you face life difficulties? Let's go back and look at some things in the Bible. All throughout the Bible, there were people that demonstrated their faith, not because they were on a mountaintop, but because they were in these deep valleys. They were in these conflicts, these struggles where they had to go out into battle, or they had to endure some kind of hardship. They held on to God's hand, but more importantly, they listened to what God was telling them. Yeah.
They listen to the encouragement that the Spirit of God will give all to his people, or give to all of his people, as they learn to trust in him. That's what Paul was sharing, and that's what Paul was demonstrating by the fact that he had learned from others. Here's the testimony of Jacob. Jacob at this point was 137 years old. And he went down into Egypt. As you've read your Bible in the book of Genesis, you read about how the family of Israel went, all about 70 of them went down into Egypt. And now Jacob is standing before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" Jacob says, "You know, I'm 137 years old, but my life has been rough. I've had some struggles." Now, was he delivering, "I've just had a hard time"? No, he was telling Pharaoh, "I'm still standing. I still have the grace of God in my life." As a matter of fact, if you read on in that chapter, it talks about how Jacob blessed the king of Israel, king of Egypt. Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and you can't bless somebody unless you got a blessing. Now, how did Jacob get his blessing? He got his blessing because every time he would go through a struggle, go through a trial, go through a situation and got weak, God would build him up and make him strong. God would tell Jacob, "Get back up." God would show him a ladder that led up to heaven. God would demonstrate his faithfulness to him and said, "Jacob, you are my servant." As a matter of fact, God loved him so much he changed his name. And God will change your life if you allow him. He'll change your outcome. He'll change the way you look at things. He'll change the way that you perceive things in your life. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Why do I have all these problems? Why do I have all these needs? You're going to discover that God is going to be greater than your why. He does not answer every one of your questions, but he will be there to help you through every one of your struggles. I know it. Not only did Jacob face the trials in life, and he learned to live and glorify God, but you remember this guy called Job? When I first started reading the book, I called it Job, J-O-B. And the devil was trying to work a job on Job. Play on words. But my point is this. Jacob learned that God did not have to always change his circumstances. All that God had to do was show up. To appear, to walk with him. We used to sing a song in the church, "Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I am on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me." How many of y'all have sung that song? So here's Job in the midst of his trial, and he says to himself, "Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him." And another point in the 14th chapter, he says, "Man that is born of a woman, anyone that is born is going to be of few days and full of trouble. But don't you know that my trouble won't last always? If I look to God, if I gain my strength every time I trust in God, I'm gaining." What are you doing when you're praying? I'm gaining strength. What are you doing when you worship? I'm gaining strength. What are you doing when you get in your Bible? I'm gaining strength so that I won't get weak and fall out. So here's Paul. Knowing all of this that had happened throughout the scripture, Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, "You're going to have some struggles. I've had some struggles in my life, but I'm still here." Amen. As I look out in this congregation, and invariably as I think about the people that are online, you've had some struggles, but guess what? You are still here today. Amen. And it wasn't your goodness. It wasn't the fact that things worked out. It wasn't the fact that you knew somebody that knew somebody. You only knew God, and God made a way out of no way. So how do we face these challenges in life? How do we deal with these things that we're going through and yet honor God? Paul says in that 20th chapter, verse 17 and 18, "You know how I lived. In other words, they observed him. They looked at his character. They looked at the way he carried himself. They looked at the way that he would conversate, not just what they did in their times of worship, but how Paul labored, how he worked with his hands, how he lived among them. And the conclusion was, not that I did what I wanted to do, I served the Lord. If the history of your life was written today, what would it say about you? Would it be, I served the Lord? You know, we have these things called memorial service, funeral service. And the job of the minister is to get up, say something, or the eulogy means say something good about the person that is departing. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, being honest, I've had some easy ones, and I've had some good ones. What demonstrated, what was the difference? The way the people lived. Amen. To say that they served, that is the greatest honor that you will ever have on the face of this planet. One day you and I are going to stand before God. He's not going to ask you, well, how much property did you own? Amen. He's not going to ask you, how many jobs did you have? How many positions did you hold? God's not going to ask you that. God is going to ask you, did you get to meet my son? Do you know that he's the Savior of the world? Do you know that he loves you? And then he's going to ask the question, did you follow him? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you face in life, nothing should be able to separate you from the love of God, because from God's perspective, he says that I will not allow anything to separate me from you. You read the 8th chapter of Romans, it talks about nothing shall separate angels, principalities, powers, things that are coming, things that are right now. Nothing, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. When you face those challenges in life, God's looking at you and he's looking at me and say, okay, are you going to follow Jesus through this? Paul's testimony was, I followed the Lord every step of the way. Got beat up, got run out of town, got stoned to death, or stoned all nearly to death where people thought he was dead, and then the saints gathered around, prayed for him, and God raised him back up again. Are you one of those people that life beats you up and the devil tells you, stay down? And there you go. Well, how you doing? Not doing too good. You know what? If God gives you another day, tell the devil, this is a day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because God wants you back up. He doesn't want you to get defeated by life. Now, here's the approach that a lot of people will take. Rather than saying, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to live according to his will, here's the approach that some will take. They will say, well, you know what? I like the easy way. I want life to be easy. First of all, it doesn't match with 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's usually the path that most Christians take between here and glory. Am I right? Amen. You wouldn't need a shepherd if you didn't have a valley. Right. You ever thought about that? But here's the approach that a lot of people say, well, show me the easy way. Let me have this life where everything goes my way. And it usually involves a shortcut. Being from the country, or even in the city, you know, you got shortcuts. You can stay on the main street, or you can go down this side street over here, living more challenges, but you say to yourself, that's shorter. We love shortcuts. Now, it's going to involve sometimes bending of rules, sometimes breaking rules, because a shortcut might be going on somebody else's property and trespassing. Or it might be, I know I could do it God's way, but that's harder. Let me just do this my way. After all, it's just one little lie. After all, it's just one little compromise. I'm running low on money, and I think this will work. I got this number in my head. Let me just take the shortcut. What do you say, 682? Let me take the shortcut. Don't, I dare y'all, I dare you. Rather than wait on God to meet my needs according to his riches in glory, I'm going to take the shortcut. I'm going to compromise. I'm going to do it the easy way. Even if it does turn out the way that you wished it would, what praise do you have to offer God now that you've got what you wanted? You got a temporary satisfaction, but you had no long-term goal to reach. Paul was saying, I went the way that God told me to go. I did it his way, and I'm standing here as a testimony through all of the trials and all of the struggles that the Lord brought me through every one of them. Even when you have to suffer, you still have something to thank God for that you made it. Other people gave up. Some of y'all have lived long enough that you went to the funeral of other folk, and yet you're still here. You went through the same battles with sickness that they went through, but you're still here today to give a testimony of how God raised you up because you did not give up. Paul is saying, I will not give up. I'm going to keep my hand in God's hand. I'm going to keep moving no matter what happens in life because the Lord is with me. The other thing that seems to dominate, especially in Western culture, the fact that finances, money rules the minds of many people. When people sit down and make a decision, well, let me see how much money I can make. Let me see if this is going to reach some type of financial benefit. Let me just tell you something that Jesus taught. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus say that? And here's Paul also giving a testimony along those lines. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that will be helpful. See, when you're giving, you're now in a position to help somebody. All right? Am I right? But if you're on the other side, you're on the receiving end, I'm going to see what somebody can give me. Listen, God did not bring you into this world for you to become a beggar. Why? Because he's going to meet all of your needs. Right? The psalmist David wrote, I have been young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Now watch this. When you have the ability to give, that means that God has given to you so that you have an excess, an overflow. It might not be a whole lot, but it's what you have. And you're willing to give of it. Why? Because God laid it on your heart. Let me show you how the folks used to do when they used to raise gardens. They would have some garden that they would say, now I'm gonna take all of this, I'm gonna put it in my store. Or they could say to themselves, you know, my neighbor down the street, they need something. Let me go over and give what I can of so that they will get a blessing, and then I'm gonna get a blessing because I know that I shared. All right, are y'all still here? So when I'm thinking about the body of Christ, we're here together that we might give, help one another. In other words, if I'm over here praying because a situation is going on in my family, I need you to pray with me. I don't need you to send me away and say, God bless you. First of all, I didn't sneeze. Yeah, y'all missed it. That's love in action. When you start giving, God opens up the doors, opens up the windows of heaven, pours you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. Here's Paul saying with all of his heart, mind, and soul, God has allowed me to share everything I could with you because that was the right thing to do. Ladies and gentlemen, this nation is becoming so selfish, so self-centered. And you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do my part to let my light shine. Amen. You know, when a light starts shining, it doesn't care who enjoys its sunray. It just shines. And what we're to do in this dark hour is to let our light shine. Glorify God. Honor him in your life. Don't worry about, I got to save everything I got. Are you giving to the church? No, I got to keep every dime I got. I don't know, hard time may come. Let me tell you something. When you honor God, you will never go broke. When you give and you recognize God, the Lord will bless you abundantly because now you're a channel of his blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't call myself a prophet, but I can tell you that our nation is headed in the wrong direction. Real fast. But you know what? I'm looking beyond the problems, and I'm looking at what's ahead. Christ is coming back. Jesus is getting ready to come back to this world. And it gives me joy, it gives me hope, because every time I see something bad in life, I don't focus on that. I look ahead and say, you know what? He said that this was going to be a sign. And all we got to do is put our trust in him. As Paul was sharing with those that had gathered with him on the shore, he's getting ready to leave them. He wanted to encourage them, and he wanted them to know, you're going to have some problems. I wish it wasn't so, but guess what? You're going to have some problems. You know, my wife and I, we were talking yesterday. I said, you know, we've entered into the last quarter. Now, for those of you that wonder about the last quarter, that's a football term. But that means you only have now one more quarter. Three quarters have gone away. Three-fourths of your life is gone away. If I live to be 100, you know, I'm in that last quarter, and I got to make it count. So my question is, number one, what am I going to face in this last quarter that could bring me some problems? Well, I'm going to get older. I'm going to get weaker. Let's face it. I'm going to get weaker. But that doesn't mean that I can't enjoy God's grace. That doesn't mean that I can't. For those of you that are my age and a little bit above, you lift your head up. You know why? Because God brought you through all of that you face. And he's not about to turn his back on you now, because he wants you to keep on glorifying him, keep on honoring him, keep on living for him. You are in the best years of your life. And guess what? It may be the last quarter, but we're winning. I said we're winning. Because the Lord is on our side. When you start thinking about the grace of God, here's Paul on that shore, giving them some words of encouragement. Because he knows that they're going to face trials. But what Paul is saying, I want you to hold your head up. Yeah. I want you to hold your head up. Yeah. Knowing that you have fought this fight, honored God, you've lived for him, and you have honored God. Now God's going to show you some amazing things about who he is and what he can do in your life. Yeah. So I prepare to close this message. You need to think about how that you can move forward in Christ. There are a couple other things that we wanted to bring out. First of all, not only is it just a thing of where people are looking at finances and looking at the shortcuts of life, but we do things because of popularity. I call it the Hollywood complex. Hollywood. Everybody wants to be on center stage, and everyone wants recognition. And then Paul later would say, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing. All that you do ought to be motivated because you love God and you love his work. You love God and you love his work. It has nothing to do about who we are, titles, and all these things. That's not what God is looking for. Paul's message was, I don't need to be in the spotlight. All I need to know is that I'm on time with God. Isn't that amazing? He writes to us, I declare to you, to both the Jews and the Greeks, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus, the wonderful Savior that's coming back to this world. Amen. Proverbs tells us something, and again, a warning, And I think it's a prayer that really Agur, in the Old Testament, the 30th chapter of Proverbs, man by the name of Agur, is giving some instructions. He said, now, here's my prayer to God. God, remove far from me, what? Vanity and lies. Every time you look at a commercial, you ought to be saying to yourself, You watch all these commercials on TV, but you don't listen to the guy when he starts talking real fast. Right? Oh, this product is great. And then it'll start, and you're saying, what did he say? He's saying that it only works in certain circumstances, and there are certain circumstances that it messes folk up. Vanity. Vanity. So he prays. Here's Agur praying. Neither give me poverty nor riches. Wow, that's a wide variation, right? You got being poor, I don't want that. And you got being rich. You know, if it's your will, Lord, right? Isn't that what we say? Yeah, let's be real. But Agur says, I don't want either one. What does he pray? Feed me with food convenient for me. In other words, just give me what I need for today. Sounds a lot like Jesus in that Lord's Prayer, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Why? If you had all the money in the world, you can only sit in one chair at a time. You can have 10 bedrooms in your house, and I guarantee you, you will not be able to sleep but in one bedroom at a time. So the fact is, if you just got one room and you're living in that one room and that's all you need is that one room, well, you ask the Lord, give me a mansion. Agur prays, give me things convenient. Give me this day my daily bread. Man, that's a satisfied attitude. That's the one that Paul had. He said, God, I'm satisfied. Whether I have a lot or have a little, God, I'm just satisfied. He goes on and explains in this prayer, lest I be full and deny you and say, well, who is God? I got all my stocks and bonds working for me. I don't need God. I've heard people say it. Went to them trying to tell them about the Lord Jesus. Well, I've lived a pretty good life. I got plenty of money. What do I need God for? And I wanted to tell them so bad, fool, you're going to die. But I was nice. You're going to need God. So Agur prays this prayer. Don't give me too much. Just enough. If I get too much, then I'm going to deny you. Yeah. And if I'm poor, now I'm going to feel like, well, you know, any means necessary. I got to do what I got to do. You go out and steal and dishonor God's name. When you got a contented attitude like Agur and like Paul, you'll be able to say, no matter what, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. As we come to the closing point in this message, some of you have had some ups and downs. I know because I prayed with you through it. Some of you have had some tremendous struggles that you said to yourself, if I can just live to see tomorrow. I've watched you. I've watched you live for it. But hadn't God always been faithful? He didn't give you everything you wanted. But he gave you everything you needed. Am I right? We sing that song, we've come this far by faith, leaning. Now, why would I need to lean? Because you get weak. You need somebody to hold you up, leaning on the everlasting arms. And God did that for you. Paul was saying at the end of this message to the church at Ephesus, I kept standing because God was able to help me stand. Amen. As I close this message today, I share with you that God is able to help you to stand. He didn't bring you to this place just to abandon you now. Amen. You have God with you. So as we close, a couple of things I want to give you is facing life challenges. Number one, make God your priority. If he's not your priority, you need to be asking yourself some very important questions. If God is not my priority, what's going to work for me when everything else fails? Here's the good news, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Well, what are these things? Jesus lumped everything that you would need in your life into this, these two words, these things. Seek me first, that's what Jesus said, and these things shall be added. Watch this. A lot of you have been thinking, I'm going to seek him, and then I'm going to get this other stuff. No, he's the one that has these things. Why would you go to anybody else trying to get these things if Jesus said, I got them? If you don't believe it, read Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything in it. Amen. And what you got to do is just make him your priority. Make him your priority. When you get up in the morning, it's not hard for old people to pray. I'm going to tell you that. I learned it the hard way. When you get old and you know God, you going to pray, Lord, help me, Jesus. You get to walking and then your knee starts, oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, I know how to pray. I learned how to pray. Learned the hard way. Make him your priority. Because you know why? You're his priority. I said you are his priority. Anytime God gave the very best he had, he could have taken an angel and sacrificed an angel. God could have taken an entire planet. By the way, planet Saturn, that's a huge planet, huge. God said, I'm going to give the planet Saturn for mankind. He could have done that, and we never would have known any difference. God took his only begotten son that had been with him for eternity. Said, you go down there. You live and you die because they can't pay their sin debt. They owe something to me, and it's got to be paid. And the due date says it's got to be paid. And Jesus said, I'll do it. Came down, took upon this body just like you and I have. Went up on that old rugged cross. And people kept telling him, come down from the cross. He was saying, I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to endure this because if I don't go through it, you'll never make it to heaven. But I'm so glad that Jesus died for me. Yeah, they put him in a grave and thought it was all over. But somebody said, early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave with all power in his hand. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I'm going to make him a priority because he made you his priority. Second thing that you got to do is that you've got to be determined. Some of y'all stubborn anyway. I said you're stubborn anyway. You get it in your mind, you're going to do something a certain way. And I started to say, you know what, and high water ain't going to stop you from it, but... Be determined that you're going to live for God. The Bible calls it being steadfast, unmovable. Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem. What's ahead of me? I've been told by the Holy Spirit, best source there is, suffering, prison is ahead of you. But I'm going on anyhow. As we get older, I'm not going to walk around with a sad face. I'm getting old. I'm not inviting all this other stuff to jump on me. I'm going to run and jump, play golf, and enjoy life as much as I can. And every day I get up, I'm going to laugh because this is the day that God has given me. And he's given you. You can make it, church. Be determined. Then thirdly, I'm out of here. I told you I did a half hour ago, didn't I? Which brings us to the third one. Be patient. One of the most beautiful psalms is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light
and my salvation. That's the way it starts.
But a lot of times when you're going through these difficulties in life, the light is either not on in our mind or is not as bright as we would like it to be. Amen. That psalm tells you to do something. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. And then he turns it right around and said, wait, I say. You know when your mama getting ready to buy you something in the store and you just jumping up and saying, oh, mama, give me that. She done told you first time she was going to get it. You can't even wait till you get to the checkout line. And then she says, wait. God says, wait on me. Wait on me. If you wait, I'm going to reward you. And waiting doesn't mean wringing your hands like this. Doesn't mean being, well, when is he going to do it? No, waiting means throwing up your hands and, Lord, thank you that it's as good as done. Thank you, God, that you are good on your word. Thank you, God, for taking care of me, because the wait means I'm not going to die. The wait means I'm going to live to see it. Are y'all still here? If I wait on him, God will come through every time. Now, what I want you to do before I go to my seat, count one time that God has ever let you down. If he ever lets you down, heaven and earth will pass away. Now, did I let myself down? I sure did. Did I let God down? I sure did. And even when I was down, guess who picked me up? Guess who held me up by his hand? Guess who made me strong? Guess who told me that he didn't bring me this far to leave me now? Guess who walks with me? Guess who talks with me? Guess who loves me even when folks hate me? Guess who said, I'm on your side? Guess who corrects you when you do wrong? That name is Jesus.
Let God be your priority. Be determined, be patient, and lastly, don't be a spiritual dropout. Do not be a spiritual dropout. I'll tell you more about that on next week. Y'all good with that? Otherwise, you'd be around here another half hour. You'd be looking at your watch and saying, wait a minute. Part two to come on facing your life difficulties. How do you face them? Hang in there. Let the world know that you are walking with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, I just give you honor. And Lord, for those that are listening online, that are hearing this message, and they're thinking to themselves, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. I'm all alone here in this place. I'm listening to a preacher that I don't know that well. And how do I know, is he telling me the truth? It's not my word. This is God's word. You get into that word. Matter of fact, get on your knees and get into that word and ask God to help you, and the Lord will shine the light of hope in your heart. He will raise you up. How do I know it? He did it for me, and he did it for millions of others. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for somebody else, he will do the same for you. You just let him know that you need him, and God will come to you. Father, bless right now as only you can do, and help that soul that's nearest hell without Christ. Turn them around before it gets too late. Help them to come to the light and to listen to your holy voice. Lord, we love you.
Yes, God.
Lord, we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to stand as we close. Everyone to stand. If there's anyone without Christ, without hope, we invite you to come. Meet the greatest person that you'll ever meet in life. His name is Jesus, and he saves to the utmost. Is there one? Is there one? If you're online, you can't come in here, but you can correspond with us. Go to our website and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. And we'll do that. It's correspond. CrossroadBC.com. Let God bless you. Amen. Let the church say amen. We have Miss Charlene Monroe. She's come to join with us by Christian Experience. She's been coming for a while, and the Lord touched her heart this morning and said, today is the day. Amen. Amen. Thank God for her. And TJ Robinson, he's come to join with us, and we've been seeing him around, and his parents is here. So he said, I'm going to join with my parents.
Amen.
Here at the church. Amen. So we have before us Ms. Monroe and Mr. Robinson. What is your pleasure? Been properly moved and second to receive Ms. Charlene Monroe and Mr. T.J. Robinson as members of this church on Christian Experience. You've heard the motion. We prepared to vote. Now, you do know what you're voting for, right?
Amen.
You're going to help them to walk this walk. Amen?
Amen?
All in favor, let it be known by the usual sign of aye.
Aye.
Any contrary, so moved and carried. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Bringing them today. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Let us greet them into our fellowship.
Peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen.